Proverbs chapter 15, and I'll read verse 13 to us. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And our subject today is being level-minded, being settled with peace, a heart that God wants to give his people and his children. It's strength to face troubles. No matter what is going on, there is a peace in our heart. There is a knowing. It is well with my soul. Because we continue to trust his wisdom. We continue to trust his goodness. We continue to trust his sovereign care. So we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, almost verse by verse. But however, from now on, we will look at some of the themes, and themes that will be helpful to us and will encourage us. And the first chapters in the book of Proverbs are examples, and that are not literal examples. It's an analogy. It is not only at surface value, not only literal. An example of this, before we move on, would be that as we read of the seduction of the young man, it's not only speaking about a young man being seduced, it's also speaking about how a soul is seduced by the world. So it has a spiritual meaning. It has a deeper meaning than the initial meaning that we see on the surface. So up to about chapter 10, they are these parables. But from chapter 10, it goes to the short parables begin with many themes and many topics. Short, but still very profound, still full of instruction. And some of the old writers put these into so many categories, up to 77 categories they give them. But we are just going to look at one or two today. Let's begin by looking at the theme in our opening verse, in chapter 15 and verse 13. And the scripture says, a merry heart, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. In other words, a glad heart lights up the face. And it's amazing how the spirit and the body are so closely connected. And a person's face will reflect what's happening in their heart. And the inward condition of the heart, when the heart is smiling, the face reflects it. And it shows on the face. Joy itself looks through the windows of our eyes. And yes, it's also true that even outward worldly excitement can cause the face to shine. So shallow, fleeting things can also cause the face to shine. But the things of this world, although they can cause the face to shine, they may prove to be a snare, or they may even prove to be unpleasing to our Father. They may be opposed to what Scripture teaches. So we are not looking today at this fleeting joy, worldly joy. Rather, only one kind of person can have true, real, lasting joy. And that is the one who walks in divine acceptance of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for them. Only the one whose sins are forgiven has true and lasting joy. Only that one whose soul is clothed with and imputed with righteousness, they will have real and lasting joy. And this is the one and only real reason for true gladness in our hearts. So we're looking today at holy and lasting joy. And it's totally opposite to the world. A cheerful countenance that comes from the Lord our God, He gives it to us. But we also see that the opposite of joy is sorrow of heart. And we see that when a heart is pained, it feels the pains. And when a mind is oppressed with grief, the body cannot enjoy health. It shows on the face when somebody's very sad. When the heart is full of sorrow, it reflects on the face. Well, just think of Hannah, for example. Hannah, she was full of grief. She was full of tears. Why? Because she had no child and she wanted a child. And yet, that grief that she has is chased away by just a word, and holy cheerfulness comes to her as she believes and as she trusts the word of promise from Eli, the priest. Eli says to her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him." And the Bible says, "So this woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." Oh, there's hope for those who have sadness in their heart. She had sadness for years. And now she goes away and her face is no longer sad. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what difficulties are coming to your life, God's holy word, one word from God will bring hope, and you will go away with comfort and cheerfulness. Even the most downcast heart, his promise is more than enough. You say, well, some problems, oh, they're too much. You can't have joy in some problems. Well, look at Stephen. Had anyone so much trouble as Stephen when he's cruel accusers were stoning him to death, his eyes fixed upon the Savior, and even in that fearful condition, there was a joy. And the Bible says his face beamed like an angel. Imagine they were killing him, and yet his face was shining like an angel. What a terrible situation he was in, yet his face shone. Well, even in our darkest hours, there is joy. Even in our darkest hours, the comforts of God never, never run dry. They remain active, abundant. They are a source of strength for the soul that trusts in him. You know, whenever the glorious gospel is received, whenever the gospel is sincerely believed, whenever there's a living faith, there's a wondrous work in our souls. You know what that work is? It gives us beauty for ashes. It gives us the oil of joy for mourning. It gives us the warmth of heaven, to banish the coldness of this world, the gloom of this world. We must see that joy can be ours even this very day. All it takes is one word from the Lord. So let's look together at this subject, true joy and contentment, how to remain balanced and joyful in the Lord. How do we do that? Well, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the heart is broken. So we are learning here two ways of responding to a problem. And, you know, the problem may very well be identical for both of these people, but the response is different. One is joyful. One has a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart means, the meaning of cheerful heart is a good heart that is surrounded by grace, surrounded by beauty, surrounded by love, health, and prosperity. That's a cheerful heart. That's a good heart. Cheerfulness or joy. We know that the Bible verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's much better than the opposite kind of person. Or the opposite kind of person, the other response, the other one who is brokenhearted, sorrowful, and stricken. One person endures hardship with inner strength and with grace. And another one, the other one that's full of sorrow, he crumbles or she crumbles. And what's the difference? Why do we see these opposite spiritual conditions? Why do some people handle similar situations so differently? Is it a matter of personality? Oh, well, I was just born like that. That's the way I was made. God made me this way. Is that how, what determines? No. What determines the response is how we approach things. Look at the first part of the verse. A merry heart makes glad the face. A merry heart makes glad the face. And that is our face, is what the people around us are going to see. So our face will, as I mentioned, will reflect what's going on in our heart. And they will see the way we carry ourselves. They will see that we have strength, that we have joy to remain content in the Lord, to remain glad no matter what we are facing. So why does that person have that strength? Because his heart or her heart is stayed upon the Lord. It's looking to the Lord. It's trusting firm in the Lord. And their manner is steady, and they are firm, and they are calm, because they know that their Redeemer liveth. Yet, we are going through similar situations that break others, but we are strong because the Lord is upholding us. I'm not saying that we don't feel pain. I'm not saying that we don't have difficulty. I'm not saying we'll never be disappointed and sometimes hurt. We can't minimize the reality of human suffering or pretend that trials don't bring genuine grief. No, there is grief in life. Yet the person that is genuinely anchored in God, trusting in his absolute power and sovereignty, that person maintains a close walk, a daily walk of obedience to Christ. They possess inward spiritual stability that no outward storm can destroy. Do you want that inward stability that no outward storm can destroy? Walk with the Lord. Never forget his benefits. We touched on this on the midweek prayer meeting. We walk with him and we know that he'll never leave us. We know that he'll never forsake us. And this is our true spiritual condition. If Christ be for us, who can be against us? And yet we forget that so easily. The world around us may not see it. In fact, they cannot see it. All they see is, you're facing difficulties. You're facing problems. They think we are sorrowful. They think we are poor. They think we possess nothing. But the reality is this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, the scripture says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Do you know that the one who walks with the Lord, they may be sorrowful, yet there is rejoicing in the heart. There is a rejoicing in the heart. As poor, oh, they are poor, they've got nothing, yet they make everyone rich. Yet they possess all things. Isn't that the reality? The reality is that his help, God's help, is plenteous and it is free and it is perfectly suited to the fainting soul, to the one who is wanting to give up. He whispers to us, fear not, I'm with you, I will help you, I will guide you. So when my heart is filled with Christ, I can sing in the prison. I can sing in the darkest dungeon. I can sing in the most difficult situation. But I can also sing in the best situation, in the palace. I can sing when things are going well. I can sing so much. The love of Jesus Christ in my heart makes the hardest bed soft. The love of Jesus Christ makes the darkest prison bright. And Stephen's life was stripped away and cut short. But actually, his eternal inheritance wasn't cut short. His eternal inheritance was kept intact and safe. The enemy couldn't touch what was of true value. And besides, his eternal inheritance was actually increased, for he was a martyr. He received a martyr's reward. So the enemy thinks he can destroy us, but our Lord will sustain us and keep us. Keep remembering the promises which change not. And they are yea and amen. They bring hope to us. They bring a comfort to us. When things are difficult, the Word of God encourages us and strengthens us, and they cause our face to be bright. Everybody else's face is solemn and sad because of what they're going through. But for the Christian who's walking with the Lord, their face is bright. But to constantly think on the negative, you know, they treated me so badly. I was wrongly treated. I was criticized. They upset me. They agitate me. I think of it over and over in my mind. I can't get it out of my mind. That's asking for trouble. That's asking for trouble. It's going to cause sorrow of heart. It's going to cause my spirit to be broken, to be stricken, to be crushed, to be bruised. Sorrow of heart. Well, that includes the mind, the thinking, reflection, inclination, determination, and will. Oh, and when all of that is crushed and stricken, I'm in a pitiful state. And that's what happens when we let those things go round and round in our minds. Oh, that one is so bad to me. Oh, it's so difficult, my life. Oh, and I don't have any will to pray. My spirit is broken. I have no will to pray. Somebody says, come, let's hear the word of God. You say, oh, I don't feel like it. I don't want to hear. Your spirit is broken. And all you can see, you're absorbed, totally with your problem and your difficulty. All you can see is that difficulty. That's how our spirit is broken. That one let me down. I can never forgive them. That one, he always fights against me. And what happens is this, a root of bitterness. It's the result is there's a bitter root that grows in our heart, a root of bitterness. And the bitter fruit that comes forth, that springs forth, that's what happens when our hearts become bitter and we pace up and down restlessly, thinking it over and over in our minds. I can't sleep. I'm agitated at night. I blame others. My spirit is broken. What can I do when I'm in that condition? Rather, I look at God's promises. I'm going to consider how God has been faithful to me in the past. I'm going to recall past victories. If I have a prayer diary, I'm going to look in my prayer diary and see how God answered many prayer requests. Maybe you don't have a prayer diary. Go back in your mind, the pages of your mind. Remember what the Lord has done for you and thank him for it. And what will happen? What will be the result is that a cheerful heart will come back to you and cause your face to shine once again. What else? I must move on quickly. I can't spend much time on that. But what else should we do to have spiritual stability and balance in life? Verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of the fool feedeth on foolishness. When we are born again, there is a thirst in us. There is a hunger in us for the word of God, for divine truth. We could say the Bible verse, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that we may grow thereby, that we may be strengthened thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. When we have a new heart, we have new appetites. We are like the deer which panteth for the water brooks. Our souls thirst for the living God. And we say, when shall I come and appear before you? We are drawn by grace to seek him. It becomes our determined purpose to know him. And by the way, that's what eternal life is, that I may know him, the only true and the living God. So when we have a heart of understanding that begins to seek the Lord, that we won't go a day without praying. We won't go a day without turning and opening the pages of a Bible and reading some scripture to feed our soul. Oh, we won't want to miss church. No, we love to go to church. We love to receive. We love to worship the Lord. We love to go and fellowship with other believers. We long to hear God's word, his words of life, his words of wisdom. And we won't just be casual about seeking him. We'll not be satisfied to only have fellowship with him once a week. No, every day we'll pray, as I mentioned. Every day we will have devotions at home. Every day we will sing as we're doing our daily work. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. So, when we see this example of how David longed for the Lord and how he sought to know God's ways, I think we should just look in, at one or two Bible verses of how examples of the grace of God drawing people to the Word, drawing people to the feet of Jesus Christ. Let's, because we are in the book of Solomon, a book of Proverbs, let's look at the Queen of Sheba. She traveled from the ends of the earth. She spared no effort to seek Solomon's wisdom. She, and this reflects how our hearts should be when grace has awakened our hearts. We seek the highest wisdom that's found in Christ Jesus, in His Word. We don't say, oh, you know, I know it doesn't happen often. One of the biggest excuses, oh, it's raining today. I cannot go to church. Well, when you are like the Queen of Sheba, you travel a long distance, rain or sunshine. You long to be there. Well, let's move on. Nicodemus, he came by night. Many people are negative about him, but he came. He had a desire to come. He said, I have to find out what he's saying. I must know. I've got to come. And he knew he may even be criticized if people saw him coming, but he still came by night. And Mary, she came and she sat at the Savior's feet. And these two examples show us a quality of spiritual hunger, thirst of a true disciple. Do you long to sit at the feet of Jesus? Are you submissive and teachable and hungering for the Word of God? Oh, I'm hungering for His Word. I long for His Word. To me, it's more precious than gold or silver or anything. Then there was a group of people called the Bereans. These people, they daily and thoroughly examined the scriptures. They measured everything they heard by the scripture. They checked it out. It was the plumb line. God, when a fundi builds, he holds up a plumb line or a level to check if it's straight. Well, our Bible is the plumb line to check if the teaching is straight. And these Bereans, they proved how renewed their minds were because they measured everything against the written Word of God. And we should ask ourselves, does my life reflect this same desire to know Him more and more? Does my life have this hunger for the knowledge of God? Do I seek to excel in the knowledge of God more and more? This is the vital key. This is the vital key to having spiritual stability, spiritual strength. How can you be strong if you don't eat? How can you be strong if you're not in fellowship, if God's hand is not upholding you? But just draw near to Him. Be strengthened by Him. You will have spiritual stability and balance in your life. Seeking wholesome spiritual food. The second part of the verse, not novelties, not the latest and the greatest that's just copied from the world anyway, but rather seek and ask for the old paths, the good way, where you shall find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16 is the Bible verse. Another verse is, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Oh, do you want strength? In the Word. In God's Word. And the second half of this verse, it contrasts the mouth of the fool that feedeth on foolishness. A man of understanding is always seeking more wisdom, always seeking to be closer to God. But the fool satisfied with folly. His taste, or the fool's taste, he or she, is only interested in what the world has to offer. They're not interested in true truth. They're not interested in things of true value. Spiritual things are foolishness to them. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The fool hates knowledge. And friends, we must guard against being a fool. We must guard against every possible way. Avoid empty and frivolous things. Avoid those soap operas on TV. Avoid those reels on internet that are just time wasters. Avoid reading unwholesome books. I heard a quote from a friend of mine. He said, avoid even good books. What? Avoid good books? He says, yes, read only the best books. You have so little time, you can't read everything. Read only the best books. Well, for us, the best book is the Bible, of course. So we have so little time. We give ourselves to going on to perfection. We give ourselves to things of eternal value. As Paul says, I press forward for the prize of the upward call that's in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. But how sad if somebody's saved and they lose hunger and they lose their appetite for solid things, for eternal things, things that will make you twice the person that you are, things that will make you useful for in the kingdom of God, that will make us really useful, eternal and valuable things. Well, we seek spiritual food and we shall be a people of stability and balance. Let's go on to verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. All the days of the afflicted are painful. They are heavy to the downcast soul. Every day feels troubled. But the merry heart has a continual feast. And this takes us back to where we started in verse 13. A cheerful-hearted believer can also be an afflicted believer, can also be a believer that's facing difficulty, but he weighs up and he compares his trials against the mercies and the privileges that are in Christ's promises. But all the days of the afflicted, they'll never change as long as they keep focused on their troubles. As long as they will always remain miserable and unhappy and be filled with misery day after day. But he who has a merry heart has a continual feast. What do you want? Day after day trouble or a continual feast of a merry heart? And what it means is that it's not talking about or giving us an excuse for gluttony and just feasting every day. It's talking about feeding on the Word of God, feeding on friendship and conversation. It's not speaking about, as the old writers say, eating earthly dainties, but spiritual food. It's talking about our thoughts being lifted up to God, and that will be an eternal feast for us if our thoughts are raised up to God. And we read it in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 as we begin to draw to a close. Finally, brethren, what Soever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So these verses are very practical. They provide information that will help every Christian stand fast in the Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, it doesn't just happen automatically. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have peace. It demands effort. If you want peace, it demands effort on our part. It demands us controlling what we think upon. Think upon that which is good, that which is true. His word is true and not a lie. We think on the word and we are lifted into cheerfulness. Let's look at the next verse. In verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's not the treasure of the world that will make us happy. You can be very rich. You can have as much as this world can give, but it will not make you happy. What makes us happy is the Lord. And let me read this. This spiritual banquet, which is the believer's portion, the world thinks it so little. And yet it is infinitely more than the great fortune that the world possesses. Sometimes we think that if we have little, our Heavenly Father has forgotten us. No, true wealth is a matter of the soul, not a matter of the hands. The contented soul is wealthy, even when he has nothing in his pocket. Even when his pocket is empty. And then there's another kind of person, the grabbing soul, the greedy soul, the one who is always wanting more. And he has so much and he wants more. That one is desperately poor, even although he may have or she may have millions. The entire universe cannot satisfy that heart that is controlled by worldly ways. Yet, for the Christian, a tiny crumb of God's grace is more than enough for those whose hearts are set upon heaven. How we take delight in the fact that our God keeps our eternal inheritance safe, where we may enjoy it forever. It is much better, far better, to have little in this world if it means we can have clear conscience and stay close to God and find joy in Him and live by faith rather than having massive wealth and endless material possessions but living completely disconnected from God. We must close now. Is your heart cheerful? Is it nourished with God's promises? Is it focused upon eternal treasure? Is it seeking knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God? Or do we spend most of our time thinking about all the sorrow that is in our life? Oh, friend, think on that which is of good report. Think of that which is praiseworthy. Think on that which is excellent. Think on that which is of virtue and honor. Think on these things, and your heart will be cheerful. You will have solid spiritual strength, balance, even in the storm. Amen.